Amy Spencer, I'm absolutely delighted to have the opportunity to interview you tonight. You're a journalist, relationship expert, and dating optimist, and author of the acclaimed book, Meeting Your Half Orange. It's been described as unputdownable because it cuts through the scrap heap of self-development, while Harville Hendrix described it as helping people move from pessimism to hope and from fantasy to reality. Better still, it is an open, honest account of your own dating journey, and I would love for you to share it with me and other women. So, starting at the very beginning, can you explain your intriguing title and share what inspired you to write the book?
Oh, absolutely. I know for a lot of people, they wonder, what the heck is a half orange, and do I really want one? And the answer is yes, you do want one. The term comes from a Spanish phrase, mi media naranja, which translates literally as my half orange, but has come to mean more figuratively, my other half, my sweetheart, my perfect other part of me. And it's a term that I learned from my now husband's family in Argentina. And I just thought, what a perfect image to take these two half oranges and you hold them together and they're just meeting perfectly in the middle, just in this sweet, full, round relationship. And I thought, wait, that's what I wanted when I was single, and that's what I think a lot of people deserve to have now. And so this is a book about how to find that half orange, and it is based on my personal story of meeting my own husband and how the way I did it was by changing my attitude and really coming to the dating game and coming to life with a lot more optimism and feeling a lot more just pure joy in living the life that I had at the moment rather than living for the future and feeling really down about whether or not I'd have the other half I wanted. So this is the story of how I did it and how everyone else can do it themselves.
Mm-hmm. So what was your attitude before you started to change it?
Basically, I was a single woman who very often I was really happy being single. I had a really great life. I had a nice job. I had a wonderful group of friends. I had some fun dates here and there. But what was happening more and more often was I was having more down days than I was having up days. So as each year passed and I kept being single and I kept thinking, gosh, by now I really thought I'd have met someone, and by now I really thought I'd be married, and by now I really thought I'd be married with two kids. So I really started feeling down about it and tired about it, and then I started feeling tired of feeling tired about it. So that's where I came from when I became a dating optimist.
And was there a degree of self-doubt for you as well about, oh, you know, will I ever meet someone? Am I worthy of meeting someone? Is there something wrong with me? Did you have that stuff as well going on?
Oh, Annie, absolutely. I mean, that was the thing that I kept coming back to because I thought, well, if I haven't met somebody by now, there's obviously something wrong with me. There's obviously something about me that guys don't like. Because I had a lot of guy friends in my life, and I had a lot of dates in my life, and everybody liked me a lot and thought I was a terrific person maybe, but not for them to date, not for them to want to marry. So that was exactly what I was plagued with, was, well, what the heck is wrong with me, or what am I doing wrong? And what I came to find out was that there was nothing wrong with me, and I wasn't doing anything wrong, but I was looking at myself from the wrong angle. And the fact that I was looking for what was wrong was what was wrong, if that makes sense.
Yeah, and I love that phrase that you were looking at yourself from the wrong angle, because so many women in your situation would look at yourself and say, well, yeah, guys like me as a friend, but obviously I don't have that whatever it is, that charm, that sexiness that men need to date, and they could easily use it as a stick to beat themselves with, and you just realized that it was a wrong attitude.
Yeah, well, it all comes down to that idea that so often when we're dating out there, we're looking to other people to like us. And, everybody that you meet, you wonder, do you like me? Am I enough for you? Am I right for you? Am I this for you? And what's the important thing to do, and what it was sort of the original flip that I had, it was a light bulb moment when I realized, wait, I shouldn't be looking at them to see if they like me. I should be looking at myself and seeing if I like me, and then from there deciding who I like in return. Because the main goal, as we know, is not to make everyone like us. The main goal is to meet one person with whom we feel a very wonderful, warm, compassionate, incredible connection with, who we like for who they are and who they love for who we are. And so that's all we're looking for. We're not looking for everyone to like us. So that's what led me to realize it's about liking yourself and becoming your true self, you know, really settling into who you are and really celebrating who you are so that the right person, that one right connection we can have, is sort of able to happen.
Yeah. So it's, in a sense, clearing the mess out of the way, getting out of your own way.
Yes, getting out of your own way. Yes, absolutely. In fact, there's one thing. I mean, the way that Meeting Your Half Orange, the book, works is that I set it up as different phases that I want you to go through, and it's sort of the idea of sort of choosing an orange seed and planting the orange seed and letting it grow, because I really like that idea of, you know, taking your attitude and looking at it in a way that you're going to plant this idea of having another half, and then you're going to really build it up in yourself. And one of the things that I talk about very early on in the book is one of the most important things, which is choosing your orange seed, sort of choosing the relationship you want.
Oh, yeah.
And one thing that I recommend, and it's really an actionable thing that women and men can do, that really helped me, and it speaks to exactly what we were just talking about, but it's the idea that when we are thinking about what we want in a relationship, so often we look at what we want in the other person. You know, we make this list, whether we do it on a napkin with our friends at a bar or whether we do it in our minds. We make a list of what we want in a partner. And as we get a little bit older, the list even gets a little bit wiser and deeper and more intense. So, you know, it's, I want someone handsome, I want someone funny. And, you know, as we get older, maybe it's, wow, I want somebody with a good heart. I want somebody with compassion, you know. The list gets better technically, but there's something about this list that I still don't like, which is what why I say, you take this list and I want you to crumple it up and throw it away. Because what's wrong with the list is that it's about the other person. And
yep.
What's true is that we don't want another person. What we want is a relationship. So I say, take the focus off what you want in the other person and put the focus on how you want to feel in the right relationship. And so all you have to do is sort of take the list you had and tweak it a little bit so that you're not looking for somebody who's good looking. You're looking for a relationship in which you feel madly attracted to your partner. It doesn't matter if your friends think he or she is good looking. What matters is that you, for some unknown reason, are madly attracted to them and want to be connected with them physically. You know, you don't want somebody with a good sense of humor. What you want is a relationship in which you laugh together. Because, again, it doesn't matter if your friends think this guy or girl is funny. What matters is if you find each other funny. You know, if they laugh with you as much as you laugh with them. So really just that idea of going through this list and taking the focus off of the other person and putting it back onto yourself and how you want to feel, that really it changes everything. And that's one of these first steps that I really encourage people to try.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more, because I've worked with plenty of women who have that list, and
Right. Get
someone who objectively ticks the boxes, but the way they relate to the woman is awful.
Right.
And yet they feel, well, he ticks the boxes.
Yes, exactly. I know. And, you know, it's even happened. I mean, think about it. We've all been on that date at some point in our lives with someone who, like you said, they tick the boxes, and maybe they're even incredibly attractive, and they happen to be flirting with us, and there's still sometimes a moment where you think, my goodness, I should like you. This is crazy that I don't like you, but I feel nothing, you know?
Yeah.
And that's what this idea of the new list does for you, is it takes away the box ticking, and it puts all of it into your heart and your soul and how you feel. And I'll tell you something, it really opens up the world, because when I was single anyway, I would walk into a party or an event or a dinner, and the first thing I would do is I'd look around the room and see, okay, guys, single guys, single guys, single guys. You know, and I'd look and I'd ask my friends, is there anyone single here? Because, you know, that was on top of my mind. That's what I wanted more than anything. And what happens is when you change this list to how you want to feel about somebody, it kind of changes the way the room looks when you walk into it, because suddenly you're not looking for the people who might tick those boxes. Suddenly the room opens up. Your scope of who you could possibly be with opens up, because now suddenly it's about who you're going to have a connection with. It's not about, you know, if they look the part. It's do you feel the part when you're with them? So it's really fun. It's a really fun thing to do, and I recommend it. Just have that first step.
and it makes for a profound change.
Yes.
I notice you also write about pickiness. I was reading what you said, that you can never be too picky when it comes to finding the love of your life. You need to be picky about a 50-year commitment. Absolutely. Can you tell me a little bit about that kind of pickiness?
Oh, absolutely. Because this is something, again, as a single person, I used to beat myself up for the fact that I wasn't feeling connections with people. And I'm sure people that you work with, wonderful women out there, you also are feeling those things like, not only do you feel too picky sometimes, but your friends, your family, they're the ones saying, are you sure you're not being too picky? Come on. But the way I see it, the relationship that you're looking for, and this is the half-orange relationship that I talk about, the relationship you're looking for is something that's going to bring out the best in you. It's the one where you kind of feel like you're a better person when you're with them. And this is a relationship that makes you happier in life overall. This is a relationship that you're able to withstand all the bumps and the troubles that you're going to go through regardless. Any relationship is going to have problems along the way. But the strong, healthy, secure relationship is the one that you're going to survive those bumps with. And so to me, settling for a relationship that, like we said, ticks the boxes maybe or makes our families happy if we settle down with them, that's not enough, I think, for most people today. That's not enough for me, certainly, and I don't think it should be enough for everyone else. So I think if you're not feeling the connection with him, it is okay to walk away. I encourage you to walk away. You know, give him a chance, certainly. If you've had 5 minutes over coffee with him and you're not feeling the spark, you know, hey, give him 15. You know, give him a second date if you feel there's something worthy there. But beyond that, don't force yourself to try to have a connection with people that you know you're not feeling it with. Because we all know our hearts. We all know who we fit well with. And I think that you owe it to yourself to have faith in that, to trust yourself, to trust your gut, you know, and really, you know, give credence to that. Give credence to the fact that you know what you like. You know who you feel like yourself with. And for that reason, I say be picky. Absolutely be picky in love.
Yeah. And the thing that really comes out of that for me is your saying that someone who makes you happy or increases your feelings of happiness.
Mm-hmm.
Because the guy with a nice butt or whatever may not do that.
Right.
And I think certainly some of the women I work with lose sight of the happiness factor.
Yeah.
It's about growing mutual happiness together.
Yeah. No, you're so right, Annie. I mean, and I think I even lost track of that when I was single, too. I saw so many people around me settling down and getting married and having children, all these things that I wanted, and I just thought, okay, first step, find the guy. And I started becoming obsessed with the idea of, as long as I find the guy, I can get on that path and join the train of everybody else doing what I want to be doing. But I had forgotten, I had left behind the idea of, why do we want to be in a relationship in the first place? To be happy. A relationship, a marriage, a family, all of these things are meant to enhance our lives. But if you're with a partner who's not enhancing your life, if you're not feeling happier when you're with them, if you're not feeling better about life when you're with them, then you're absolutely going against the point. You know, you're making your life harder and worse, not happier and better. So that's really the first key is, you know, remembering why you want to be in a relationship in the first place. And it's exactly what you just said, you know, to enhance your life, to be happier.
Yes. Certainly think so.
I hope so. I mean, life gets hard, but hopefully the relationship will actually help you through it, not pull you down. That's the goal.
That's the master plan, yes. A distinction between wants and needs, a very clear distinction. I've worked with many women, and I've heard many women say, you know, I need a partner in my life. And you say, no, that's not what it's about.
Right. Needs. Absolutely. Yeah, it's, you know, what I hear often from women is almost the opposite, almost the fighting against it. Like, I don't need a man. Who needs a man, you know? Some people are saying they need a man. Of course, that's unhealthy because you shouldn't need a partner to be happy. You should be happy within yourself, within your own heart. You should be enough. But on the other scale of it, the people who are fighting so hard against it that they don't need a man, you know, I also say, well, maybe that's the wrong thing to be saying too. Because it's not about needing a relationship. What's important is if you want a relationship and you want a partner to share things with, that's okay. That's healthy. You know, it's a healthy want to go on vacation with someone and point out you know, the wonderful old buildings in London, and to point out the beautiful sunset in Mexico, someone to share with, someone to cuddle with, someone to tell your secrets to, someone to laugh and joke around with when you're watching a movie on a Friday night. That's healthy to want those things. If you need those things, if you need that partner to be happiness, to be happy and find any happiness in life, yeah, that's not where to begin. So if that's where you truly feel that you need this person to complete you or fill you, then I think the place to go is into yourself first. Because the most important thing is that you are happy with yourself and with your life right now first. Because until you're that person, you won't be able to offer a healthy half to that half-orange relationship yourself. You know, the idea of this wonderful, healthy relationship is that both halves are really being their best selves and really happy within themselves and who they are, because that's when you can offer the right other half to this great relationship.
Yes, as opposed to this idea of, well, I'm incomplete and I'm not
right.
Feeling good about myself, but somebody else will make it all right for me and make me whole. And yeah.
Right. And I'll tell you something. This is a lot of where this dating optimism comes up, is that, and I had this feeling. I caught myself feeling this way and coming off this way, and I thought, oh, what am I doing? I was a really happy person. I'm a happy, hopeful, optimistic person about life in general. But about my dating life, I was feeling really down about it, and I kept thinking, well, I know I'm down, and I know that when I go out for drinks with my friends, I've got a bit of a frown on my face, and I know I come off maybe a little bit bitter here and there. But here's the thing. When I meet the right guy, oh, I'm going to be awesome. You know, I'm going to bring out this wonderful side of me. I'm going to be so happy. Wait till he sees, right? But what I was missing was I was living this sort of down, tired, pessimistic life and hoping that the right guy would recognize that when I met him, I would change and become a happy, hopeful, wonderful person. So the key, I mean, really, it's almost so obvious it hurts, but it didn't occur to me for a long time, which is that you need to be the person now that you want to be in a relationship later. Become the happy, hopeful, smart, sassy, sexy, beautiful, fun, optimistic woman now that you hope to be in the future with your relationship. Because if you become that woman now, not only will you feel terrific about your life and recognize, oh, wait, duh, this is what the whole point of life is, to be happy and enjoy myself, but you will also be exhibiting this amazing energy about yourself, which is exactly what's going to attract the right person to you. That's what's going to attract the right person to you naturally when you are being your best, happiest self now. You know, that's when your other half is going to be walking down the street and stop and look at you and say, hey, wait a minute, what does she have going on? I want a part of that. I need to meet that woman. I want that woman to be a part of my life. Mm. And again, it's all about being the happy woman now, being the whole, complete, satisfied woman now. And that's what's going to get you into that relationship with the right person later.
Do you have any specific tips for becoming that happy woman now?
Well, I'll tell you, I just got an email yesterday from a woman who was talking about how hard she finds it to be positive about herself because she kept having these bad dates and these guys just not responding to her. And she was going through what we were talking about earlier. What am I doing wrong? What's wrong with me? Why do I have such a bad attitude? Why am I so pessimistic? And what I told her, which I think is a really great tool, is to make a list. We're big on lists today, but make a list about why you would date you. What about you makes you dateable? What about you, this is a cute word that I like, what about you is mad aboutable? What would make someone mad about you? And if you had the opportunity to date you, what would it be? And I suggest, I'm not kidding, come up with 50 reasons. 50 reasons. I know it's like, 50 reasons of what? And I want it to be everything you can possibly think of that you like about yourself and that you think someone else would benefit from. Maybe you are a really fun dancer. Maybe you tell great jokes. Maybe you make a great spaghetti carbonara. Maybe you're awesome at Connect Four, the board game, and you want to have fun playing it. Whatever it is, start coming up with this list. And the more you do, the more you find yourself, A, not thinking about the bad things about yourself, which we get so caught up in doing. It's so easy to think about the negative. We're, in fact, by the way, our brains are primed to focus on the negative. Our emotional brains do that more easily than focusing on the positive. So don't beat yourself up for it. It's a natural thing. But by doing this exercise, you're focusing more on the positive, which doesn't allow you to think about the negative. And B, by doing so, you will just notice as you go down this list, the more you do it, the more fun you're going to realize you are, and the smarter you're going to realize you are, and the cuter your legs are, because you forgot how cute your legs are and how great your smile is. And when you look at this list from an objective point of view, you're going to start to say, wow, that's a lot of reasons to date this person. If this was someone single and someone put this list in front of me and said, what do you think? You want to date this guy? You'd look at that list and go, absolutely. Sign me up. Where do I meet him? When's coffee? Let's do it. And I think it's a useful thing to do. I mean, take 2 days if you need to do it. Ideally, you sit down and make yourself do it in one. But the more ideas you come up with, the more you realize there is great stuff about you, you know, and it's just a moment to stop focusing on the bad stuff, because that's what I find people do. You know, they haven't met someone today. Why not? Here are the reasons why not. I'm saying scratch the reasons why not. Why are the reasons why tomorrow you might?
Yep. That's absolutely,
you know,
fantastic.
Why are you mad about them all? That's the list.
Yeah. And do you have to be perfect to be loved? I mean, do you have to be a size 6 or, you know, have perfect hair and perfect teeth and everything?
No. And here's the thing, too. There's no such thing as perfect. There is no such thing as perfect. We just talked about that person that you meet that might be empirically attractive, that you feel absolutely zilch of a connection with. There's no such thing as the perfect person that everyone would be attracted to if we met them in person. I'm telling you right now, Brad Pitt, if we met him in person, we might not actually feel a connection with him. Yes, he's good looking. Yes, he's famous. Yes, he's this and he's that. But guess what? You know, does he like watching the same movies you like? I don't know. Maybe not. So the point is, there is a different person on earth who is a great connection for all of us, and it's all different. I mean, we've seen our friends with people that we think, wow, I'm glad you're dating him because I wouldn't want to, you know, and I have girlfriends vice versa. You know, we all like something different. We all want something different, and the point is not what we are, but how we feel about ourselves. Mm. Do you feel beautiful? Do you feel funny? Do you feel smart? Do you feel sexy and sassy? That's what's important, and it's our job, I think, on this earth to find that love for ourselves, to find a reason to say, yeah, I'm worth it. I'm awesome in my own way, in my own version of attractiveness, in my own version of smart, in my own version of driven, whatever it is. It's our job to realize within ourselves what makes us so awesome and to put that out in the world. And the right person, not every person, the right person is going to recognize us for that and want to be with us. And that's the person we're doing it for. We're doing it for ourselves, and we're doing it for that other partner who's going to recognize it and appreciate it. So, yeah, it's not perfect. It's just perfect love for ourselves. That's what we're going for.
I absolutely love it. It fits with something that struck me years and years ago. Lucille Ball apparently said, love yourself first. Everything else follows on. And I thought, wow.
Yeah, because amen, Lucille.
Yeah.
Yeah. Life changes and love changes when you love yourself.
Yeah. But can you say a little more about that?
Well, just that, you know, what I talk about in this book about wanting to meet your other half, wanting to meet your half orange, it's what's really interesting to me is that the journey of doing that is what's going to bring you the true joy and happiness. So maybe you won't meet your other half tomorrow, and you can't expect to, in the sense that it's not up to us when we meet our other halves. It's not our timeline. You know, it's the universe's timeline. It's the world's timeline. It's bringing the right people together at the right time. Mm-hmm. I'm with my husband now, and I think, gosh, if I had met him 2 years earlier, I wouldn't have had the mindset, the love for myself, the understanding of relationships that I had the 2 years later when I met him. I met him at the right time, when I was in the right place, when he was in the right place. And that's what it's all about, is working toward that moment, becoming the person that you want to be now, that you want to be in a relationship later. And when you become this happy, wonderful, authentically true version of yourself, it's not just about meeting your other half tomorrow. It's enjoying your life right now, enjoying the journey. Because when you love yourself and you feel like you're truly giving something to the world, meeting your other half, suddenly, it's funny, it becomes less important. And the minute it becomes less important, that's when it ends up happening naturally, because that's when you find yourself just feeling so truly happy, so truly good about yourself, so right in life. You know, you just feel like you can put your feet up in life and you're just feeling good. Things are right. That's what you're aiming for, is that feeling. That's what dating optimism is aiming for that feeling. And so not only is that feeling going to make you feel great about yourself, but that's the feeling that your other half is going to be attracted to, and that's what's going to meet you. That's what's going to have you meet on your paths together. So to me, that's what it's all about. Lucille Ball was right. Love yourself first. Love your life, and everything comes from there.
Yeah. I suppose I'm thinking that some people might say, oh, but I can't be lovable. I can't be attractive. You know, I can't be happy. And do you believe that everybody can do it?
Yes, absolutely. I do. I mean, in our own time, absolutely in our own time, but I'm an optimist. I believe that everyone has that ability to find that within themselves. For a lot of people, it requires a little bit more than make a list of 50 things you love about yourself. For some people, that works. For some people, it takes some therapy. It takes finding out why they have deep abandonment issues because their father left at a young age or because an ex-boyfriend cheated on them and really hurt them. You know, for people who have deeper issues, by all means, it requires therapy. I have some good friends who are single and really working hard at it. And you have to dig deep because life hurts us sometimes and really scars us. And, you know, scars are hard to tear through. And so for some of us, it's a little bit more difficult. And, you know, it's sort of about forgiving yourself for that and understanding that and, you know, appreciating that for each of us, it might not be as quick a process, and not beating yourself up for it, because that's the worst thing in the world is, I'm trying to be optimistic, but I can't, and it's not working, and now there's another thing I'm lousy at, you know? It's not about that. It's not about that. And I understand people feel that way sometimes. You're like, why can't I do this? It's just, what's wrong with me? What's wrong is that you're focusing on what's wrong. Like, please, it's the only message I can say is when you catch yourself talking about what's wrong about you, flip it. Look at what's right. If you think of one thing that's wrong, think of three things that are right. Every time you do it, three things that are right. Three things that are right. Optimism takes practice. It's like a skill. I mean, I interviewed a lot of psychologists and optimism experts and people who study this. It's kind of like crossword puzzles and Sudoku. It's working with your mind and working on your emotional brain and in a way retraining it to look at things from a positive point of view. So it does not happen overnight. It does not happen with a snap of the fingers. It happens with practice. And for some people, it's going to take a little bit more practice. You know, some people are not naturally good at piano. Some people can pick it up in a day. So just look at it this way. Maybe this is something that it just takes a little bit harder work, but it can be done. Anyone can learn piano. We know this. You can learn at 5, you can learn at 70. Anyone can learn to love themselves too. It might just take a little bit longer, but it's all about practicing on focusing on your positives. And, you know, really fighting what our brains do naturally, which is tending toward the negative. Our brains have what's called a negativity bias. And knowing this, I hope, helps. Knowing that it's not your fault if you tend toward the negative, we all do it. Our brains do it naturally. But it's our job, if we want to feel differently, if we want to be more positive, if we want to be more optimistic, it is our job. We have to practice. Like you practice for piano, you practice your optimism. And you work on yourself and you work on what you love about yourself, why you are worthy, why you are worth it, why you do deserve the love of your life. It's worth it. I mean, it might take work, but it is worth it. And I think anyone and everyone can do it.
I think that's so powerful. I really do.
Yeah, I hope so.
Yes, absolutely. You say that that when you want this relationship, it's not your job to figure out how to make it happen. It's your job to want it. Now, it's terribly easy if you want it to happen to try and figure it out and make it happen. How do you just stay in the wanting?
That's such a good question. And the way I stay in the wanting is I work up what I talk about in the book called the orange buzz, and what that is sort of a really happy hum in your belly that you get. You put a big smile on your face, you take three very deep breaths, and you think about how good you're going to feel when you get what you want. And for some people, again, it takes a little bit harder practice to visualize this. A good trick is to kind of visualize yourself from above as if you're looking down at yourself. You know, athletes will do this when they're picturing themselves running over a finish line. You know, business people will do this, picturing themselves giving a successful speech. So in love, I would say look down at yourself. See yourself on a park bench cuddling with the love of your life. See yourself walking hand in hand along the beach with the love of your life. Picture this, work up this hum in your belly, do this for 3 to 5 minutes, and really hold it in your gut and try to make kind of your inside smile, make your belly smile, make your liver smile. And to me, that's the wanting. Just picturing how good it's going to feel, that's the wanting. And as long as you do that once a day, twice a day if you can do it, you know, at night before you go to bed and in the morning before you start your day, if you can do that, you'll feel in a way as if you're doing something. Because I think what happens, and what happened to me when I was single, is that I thought that if I wasn't constantly doing something toward my goal of meeting my other half, then I wasn't doing enough. You know, if love was really important to me, if I really wanted this relationship, then I would be doing something all the time. I would be online scouring the internet sites trying to find the right guys. I would be emailing all of my friends and asking to be set up. I would be going to singles events 4 nights a week and trying to meet the right person. And when I was single, I would do all those things. And what I would do is I would skip my best friend's birthday party because it was a small, intimate affair with 4 couples. And where am I going to meet the love of my life there, right? So I did all these things because I felt like I needed to be doing something. And that's what I think happens so often, is that people think, you know, how do I get what I want? I've done these 14 things on the list. I've gone speed dating. I've been set up by my hairdresser's best friend's brother. I've done all of these things, and I'm still not finding the right guy. What do I do next? How do I do it? You know, it's the type A in us. We try to accomplish something the way that we would do something on our to-do list for work. Mm. So what I talk about is, instead of worrying about how to get what you want, just want it. And by focusing on that orange buzz, by trying to really internalize the wanting and feel it physically in your body and make yourself smile when you think about it, that is doing something. And that doing something is actually going to be far more effective than forcing yourself to physically go on speed dates, go on setup dates, go on online dates, if going on those dates is exhausting you. If you're having fun going on dates, I can't say it enough. Go on dates, by all means. Be set up. You know, go on 10 blind dates in a week. If it's a challenge and someone dares you to do it and it sounds fun, do it, absolutely. But if you are getting tired of it, if it is bringing you down, if it is frustrating you the way it frustrated me when I was single, then to me, the energy you're giving off by being that person who is tired and frustrated and over it, that bad energy to me is worse than being someone who's not going on dates this week, but is instead focusing on the wanting. Not focusing on the how am I going to get it, but focusing on this is what I want. So to me, that's the most important thing. Make sure that the energy you feel and the energy you're giving off is a positive one, is a satisfied, happy one. And so that's what I mean. Want from a place of feeling good about yourself rather than bringing yourself down by trying to figure out how to get it.
Hmm. Absolutely. And it sounds like something like the law of attraction here. Is that also part of it?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. There is law of attraction here. I believe in that deeply, for sure. I think that, you know, it'll be hundreds of years before we've really tapped into exactly what's going on about the energy that we all have. And there's certainly something to that in my book. In Meeting Your Half Orange, there is an element of the law of attraction there. But what I focus on more is the idea of the psychology and sort of the neuroscience of our brain chemistry and how our attitudes and our feelings actually affect our body language, and they affect our perceptions of other people, and they affect how other people perceive us. Because to me, sort of knowing that we have control and that we have some power and what exactly is going on, that to me makes me feel more empowered. So that's what I try to get across to people, just knowing that sometimes thinking about the law of attraction, it seems so woo-woo and it seems so like, well, what are you talking about? How do I know this really works? So what I talk about is the idea that, yes, there is some energy around us, and it's real. You know, it's based on who we are as a person. It's based on what our brain is thinking, and we have the power to control it and change it and to create a better energy around us that, yeah, in essence, is going to attract other people with other great energy.
Makes a lot of sense. Amy, one last question. Are there any specific qualities or features that women should be looking for in their half orange, in your estimation?
Yeah, well, I guess I would say, again, it's not a quality to look for in another person. It's what is the quality that you want to feel within yourself? And I would say that anytime a woman is thinking, oh, what do I want in a partner? I want them to turn it around, put the mirror up, and ask, how do I want to feel? And I think that, in essence, you want to feel loved, you want to feel beautiful, you want to feel worth it. You know, I think that with those things in mind, you know, you feel like you are someone that is, you know, just a beautiful person that someone wants to be around. You're someone who is respected and feels valued and feels worthy in their eyes, and someone who feels loved, because the feeling of love is really, you know, it's the ultimate, it's what we're after. And I think that if you ask for that, if you ask to feel those things, then as you walk around in the world, as you look up and you smile and you say hello and thank you to strangers and you think about how much you can't wait to feel those things, I think that's what's going to start over time drawing that right person to you.
I think that's absolutely beautiful. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Annie.
Could you please tell me where listeners can get more about you, your website?
Sure.
And the
you know, you can pretty much get to anything that we talked about, any links, through the book's website, which is meetingyourhalforange.com. No hyphens, just meetingyourhalforange.com. On there you can find more info about me, a way to email me if you'd like. There is a link on there to a website I do called thedatingoptimist.com, and the Dating Optimist is a place where I post daily, when I can, doses of positivity, you know, quotes from life, from TV, from books, from movies, things that remind us why to feel good about ourselves and how to feel good about ourselves. And there's also a link on the website to the iPhone app that I made, which is a companion piece to the book. And again, if you have an iPhone, it's a wonderful tool that you have out in the world. You shake it and get these little doses of optimism when you need it. So you can find basically everything you need to know about the book and myself and Dating Optimism on meetingyourhalforange.com. And, of course, a place to buy the book. You can get it at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, Borders, all the good places.
Yes. What could possibly be better?
Yes, exactly. And I hope people do embrace, I mean, whether they buy the book or not, I hope that through our conversation and through the, maybe some of the things I've said, that at least one thing will hit. You know, that's the hope, that one thing will hit. Like the one thing Lucille Ball said that you remember, you know, maybe there's one thing that either you or I said today or that is in the book that will just tweak someone's attitude and idea about themselves just enough that it will change their experience in life and dating and lead them to their other half, which is the ultimate reason why I wrote and do all this.
I'm sure it will. It may be sometime you may hear from some people you may never hear from, but
right.
I have no doubt that some of what you've said tonight will change lives in a very, very positive way. Amy Spencer, thank you very, very much for being on the call tonight. That's absolutely fantastic. It's been
thank you, Annie. It has been a sheer pleasure. Thank you.
Okay. Goodbye, Amy.
Bye.